Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today, Jamie Smith. Jamie, it's great to have you on. Please let us know where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Innovative Pet Lab.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Obviously, Jamie Smith. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Innovative Pet Lab. I'm actually located in Virginia Beach, but awesome. My lab and my team and the company is based out of Atlanta.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about your background. I mean, what kind of got you into this space? What kind of problem did you see out there in the market that you were looking to solve and creating this brand?
Yeah, thank you. So I joke that I am the most surprised entrepreneur on the planet. Myself and my co-founders, we came from human diagnostics. So I spent the majority of my career working in the human space, both at a mid-market physician type of level too, as well as direct-to-consumer at-home testing. And my co-founders, we all worked together at one point in time in at a human diagnostic lab. And we, you know, we were looking at problems in humans that focused on gut health or hormones or nutrition, but really this root cause approach to medicine. And we ourselves had pets, and we realized that our pets were having the same problems and the same symptoms as the human patients that we were treating. And so we just kept tossing around this idea of somebody should be doing this in pets, that this is a great opportunity. Because one, two, a lot of really good research comes out of animals, even before it gets into humans. And so we knew there was really good research around the type of testing that we wanted to do. And it was that aha moment where we just kept saying somebody should be doing it. And finally it was, why not us? And so we formed the idea and came to market a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I have to say, it's probably one of the most on point developments of like a entrepreneurship venture from a background, believe me. Like most of the people that come on, like I talked to a gentleman recently, you'll probably see his podcast in a couple of weeks, but he was a software developer for Bungie. It's a company that makes video games, and he's selling cashmere sweaters. It's like the best. That is like a typical story that I hear on the podcast. Yours is actually a pretty linear, all things considered.
Awesome. We had these great jobs, and I was super happy in my career and all the things. And I was like, how did I end up starting a business? Like, where did this come from?
No, that's awesome. So obviously with your background, you know what testing can do to actually, like, as you mentioned, like finding the root cause of a problem rather than just treating symptom after symptom after symptom. I think most people are kind of on board with that. And obviously that translates to the people that you love and the things that you love, which are your pets, your kids, and everything. So what was kind of missing out there in the market did you find with, you know, at-home testing for pets, or did it even exist at all? I mean, I've had things given to me by veterinarians to do, but nothing that I could just like come across to do and like as a preventative measure, I'll say.
No, it's a great question. So honestly, there is a few companies out there. It's more in like the genetic space, like Embark or Wisdom Panel looks at like either the makeup of your dog or cat, you know, with their breed could be potentially be. Also looks at maybe some, you know, longevity markers. Like there's some stuff out there now, like how long can your dog live, they think, or whatnot. And so that's a very, you know, genetic focused type of testing company. And there's a couple other new at-home testing, but really it's a new market in pet. And I had the privilege of seeing this market develop in the human space. So when I left a company called Genova, I went to work for a company called Everly Well, incredible founder, Julia Cheek. I have so much respect for what she built there. And I got to watch her kind of disrupt the physician market of thing and the consumer behavior of, hey, I've got a problem, I should go to my doctor, and then they tell me what tests I should do. And it's giving that control then to the consumer to make their own health decisions with DTC human testing. And so I think it was a similar moment with pets, right? That you mentioned, like you just think about going to your vet to get testing done. And to us, it was really important to really, we do work with a lot of vets and we absolutely love our vet partners, but giving the power to the pet parent to one, make the choice on what they want to test their pet for, but also to helping them navigate the information, right? It's one thing to give them a test and a data point that means nothing to you. What we do is really talk about the data point and then what they can do at home, whether it's a food choice, a nutrition choice, a supplement, a lifestyle recommendation that can really improve their pet's health. And so it was kind of a twofold approach in that we wanted to help empower the pet parent and get transparency, right? Like sometimes if you go into the vet, you come out of there with a bill, you're like, I don't even know what I just paid for.
Yeah, right.
I just spent $1,000 and I'm not sure what just happened. And
for yourself too, okay, either way. Yeah,
exactly. Right. And so having the transparency around pricing, but also giving them the power to make the decision on what to test and then what to do for treatments. And to give them that, those options that are really helping them navigate that health and wellness space in pet. Because like human in pet, I think it's a lot of information out there and sometimes it's really hard to navigate that. So we want to do both.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think that's a big differentiator in my mind. I mean, I've seen maybe here and there, like some like small testing things or even like the genetic testing kits that can give you, you know, some insight into the breed and, you know, typical issues that may come arise of that, but never following up with like, here's steps you can take to alleviate some of these things going forward. And how do you kind of grapple with that? I mean, you see somebody buys, you know, a specific test for a specific issue that maybe they find their pet is having, and it does come back positive. Do they then kind of go to your website and find things like that? How do you kind of tackle that consumer education part of like the follow-up after somebody uses the test?
Yeah, absolutely. So in our results that you get, so for example, we talk about fecal calprotectin, which people are like, what is that? Or I say like beta glucuronidase, and they don't like, I don't know how to say that. So these are advanced markers, right? And they're well researched, but we talk about the analytes. So calprotectin, for example, is a marker of inflammation. And so a little bit can be something minor, but a lot can be something serious. And so we actually give examples of, okay, here are certain foods, supplements, diet changes that you can make to bring your inflammation levels or your calprotectin levels from high to low or bad to good. The other thing that's, you know, nice too, is that people, when they retest with us, once you start the treatment plan, the marker should move with the treatment plan. So you can track progress and say, all right, this is actually, the treatment plan is working. Or if it's not, then there's maybe something really serious going on that does require the vet visit. And so we provide a lot of education around to the pet parent about the different foods and sources or supplements or whatnot that they can use to do that. We also partner with really great brands. So I don't sell a food or supplement. I get a lot of questions of like, why don't you have a supplement then to sell me after this? Because at the end of the day, it's really important to me that we are giving pet parents advice that they can trust and not telling them information that they feel like then I'm trying to make them buy something. Mm-hmm. Instead, I then partner with great brands so then they can make informed decisions. So, you know, we talk about, hey, you need a probiotic and specifically one with maybe Saccharomyces boulardii in it. Here's four companies to go look at different price points that we have approved and vetted that you can go look at and make that purchase.
Yeah, I think that's really important because like you say, I mean, people might like, they love you, the tests work, and they like all the information you provide. They might say, well, why don't you have products? So it's like, yeah, but if you did, you'd probably be saying like, well, oh, you're just trying to sell me this stuff. Who even knows if the tests actually work? You're just trying to sell the food or the supplements or whatever. So I think that's a really intuitive approach to it, which is basically not just having like one partner for each specific thing either. Having, you know, options for each type of thing that you're recommending based on a test result. I think it's really important. So let me ask you this. I mean, I'm curious, how do you go about trying to sell something like this? You're doing most like D2C selling online. Do you exist in retail at all? Is it on Amazon? I mean, yeah. What is your like kind of biggest revenue channel right now?
We're a young company still. We've really only been in market for a year. I think mm-hmm. all the entrepreneurs out there that are listening to this can appreciate, you know, we came up with the idea and we're like, okay, we're going to be in market in 6 months. It took forever. And yeah. The easiest thing that we did was stand up the lab because we own our lab. We run all of our samples in-house.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone's like, wasn't the lab hard? I'm like, that was the easiest thing we did was the lab because we know lab. It mm-hmm. was everything else that like I didn't think about that now, you know, that sucks up my time these days. But that's what took the longest to be there. So we started DTC. We got lucky, you know, being young and scrappy, where we had some really great partners that worked with us and promoted us, whether they were influencers or other brands, because there was nothing out there like this before. And so there we got a lot of traction early on for that. And then we, once again, we're like, we're going to launch Amazon. It's going to be so easy. I have a lot of respect for Amazon agencies now. It was not easy. We failed like twice. And then we finally worked with a great agency and got us on Amazon. So we are on Amazon now. And we also just launched on Chewy. So yeah, we're super excited about that partnership. Chewy is a great, great brand partner. I mean, obviously super well respected in the industry. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that brand of validation that we, you know, said like, they're like, okay, they accepted us. And so we actually just launched Chewy a couple of weeks ago. So
yeah, congrats. That's an awesome partnership for sure. Yeah. Yeah,
thank you. So that'll be fun too, because like I said, we're a little bit brand agnostic. And so we can work with some of our partners that we already work with that are on Chewy and do some fun things there. So really the focus of this year is 2024 being, you know, a retail year and to be focused there. I'm sorry, e-commerce year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, small team, laser focus in one area. We do have a vet channel that has been organically building, and we do actually have a room for a retail channel. We're hoping next year to really launch retail. We're in a few retail spots right now, kind of beta testing, right? What are we learning? What's working? Mm-hmm. What's not? Sort of education does the staff need? What does the client base need? Because there is some complexity to work with us, right? We're not just a standard, it's a lab test, you know? And
mm-hmm. it's not an impulse buy. I mean, this is like
it's expensive and it's thoughtful. And, you know, and ultimately, you know, people find us right now because their pet is having a problem. And so they're researching and they find us that way. I hope to grow the brand to be known as a source of preventative medicine. And so ultimately they're coming to us for their prevention tools, not just because they have a problem. So,
yeah, that's interesting. And how do you kind of grapple with overcoming maybe, I mean, obviously I can tell you're kind of taking your past experience in your career with, you know, disrupting the motion of like always having to go to the doctor to do any kind of even preventative maintenance or anything for yourself and kind of bringing that into life with your pets. I mean, do you think I'm right in saying that more or less?
I do. Yeah, I do. And so honestly, you know, I think it's kind of like the time is right. You know, I saw how the industry transformed through COVID and human and then post COVID, kind of now that we're normaled out, that, you know, the market is kind of has a change right now where we can be more predictive.
Right.
And so I saw that industry change happen in the human space. Pet typically lags about 5 to 10 years behind humans. But I think looking at the different generations that are owning pets and how pet ownership has changed and how, you know, I joke that pets are the new kids and plants are the new pets. And so also to the generation that is owning pets right now and using and not having, you know, pets for kids, they're also the same generation that helped disrupt the process of their own medicine, right? That they are the ones that did question physicians or did find things outside of the traditional model to do their own health and wellness. They're big drivers behind fitness and wellness and supplementation industries growing. And so, and now they have their pets that they want to do the same things for. So I think that that was kind of, you know, really is where we figured out that we're in a good spot. We're maybe a little bit early in the market, but we'd rather be there because I think that the trends are moving in that way.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And it's so funny. I talk so much about like, you know, Gen Z and like younger millennials, obviously, you know, it's a big target market for a lot of, you know, upcoming brands that are trying to do things a little differently, do things a little healthier. I mean, obviously some of the biggest consumers are making those changes and alternatives are in like Gen Z and, you know, millennial age. But it's so interesting with Gen Z, it seems, you know, just like kind of post COVID where like that generation was supposed to be coming into like their own sort of consumer category with their own consumer identity. I feel like that kind of put everything on hold. I mean, Gen Z is getting a lot older before they're really entering the market as like their own kind of original consumer base. It's really interesting.
Well, is that kind of your, for a little bit for as well? Cause you know, coming into COVID, we didn't know what the world was going to look like. And we made some assumptions and some came true and some didn't, right? As far as consumer behaviors. And so, especially in the health tech industry, I think things that we thought would be more popular maybe weren't, and things that became, it's an interesting study, right? And so I think looking at, like you said, young millennials and Gen Z behaviors, but also too, what's been a fun trend that we've noticed too, it's not just then, it's the younger boomers that now kids are out of the house and the dog or cat is their baby. And so it's fun to watch those trends as well. So
yeah, no, it really is. I mean, I think it's been like this for a while. I think pets really are the new kids. I mean, Gen Z and millennials, it's not buying homes, not having kids. I mean, that's just like, that's just the way it's going, unfortunately. So and I'll tell you, in New York City, where I'm based out of, there's more dogs than people, I think, in Manhattan. I mean, every person is walking one or two tiny little dogs. It's crazy. Even like very, I feel like traditionally very urban areas were not very like pet centric, but New York City, I mean, oh my God, every single person on the street has a dog. They're in the bar with their dog. Oh. They're sitting outside the bar with their dog. It's like crazy. I love it. I love it to death, but it's like, it's just wild. You could see it like before your own eyes.
Yeah. And like, it's what, and I know now that I'm in the industry that I notice it more, but how many commercials, not even for pets, but have pets in them, right? The center theme is a relationship between them and their animal.
Yeah.
And you know, how many restaurants or stores are now pet friendly? Mm-hmm. How much airlines have moved to accommodate for pets? You know, it's just huge trend in this market that we're seeing across the board, across categories.
Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, I know you mentioned, you know, obviously this can be a big e-commerce year for you, you know, doing more D2C. As far as things go on that front, I mean, what are you kind of thinking as far as doubling down on things that you already know that are working as far as like digital marketing goes? Is there anything new you're looking to get into? Can you kind of break down, you know, your general like kind of marketing outlook?
Yeah. I mean, I laugh. We, myself and my team, we are not the social media generation, right? We're either older millennials or Gen Xers. And so people were going all in on some social media. We're like, oh, so I guess we should start an Instagram account. So luckily we knew to pivot and to hire in those key areas.
Yeah.
So one thing that's been really interesting, you know, obviously TikTok is growing and there's a lot around that, but, and we're not actually, I'll say this, we're not doing much on TikTok right now, but where I've been getting feedback from other people in this space is this, that how much TikTok shop is influencing and growing their market right now. And so we avoided it. Like I was said, I would never do it. We're strongly considering it now because we also have consumer and vet and retail channels. We have to really be careful on our spend and where we're focusing on because we're still smaller and we need to be, you know, a bit laser focused. So I think, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised about our marketing metrics and strategy as far as conversion rates when it comes to like Meta and SEO, where I was really expecting to have such a high CAC that it would probably keep us out of there, especially with, you know, anyone that went through and was working during the Meta changes and the Facebook when they changed their permissions. I think I was automatically expecting it to be really poor, but I've actually seen some great progress in those areas and some really good metrics around it. But I would say, honestly, as far as like highest conversions right now, we're seeing is really on our Amazon channel and our Chewy channels. And so, which kind of makes sense, but.
Yeah, that's great. And it seems very recently, I mean, I'm talking like maybe in the past, like 2 to 3 months since iOS 14 changes and Facebook permissions changes. I feel like it's starting to pan out like more now. I don't think they really saw the aftermath of that coming to be like as big of an issue as it was. But it does seem, I mean, a lot of people say they're having a lot more success with Meta and Facebook again, that had traditionally been a struggle over the, you know, since that happened. I mean, you know, maybe the past like 6 to 8 months. So that's really interesting. And this is another thing I'm curious about. I mean, what do you kind of see as far as we get a converted sale and then, like, you know, you're able to get feedback from people, obviously, when you sell D2C is one of the beauties of selling direct to consumer. Mm-hmm. What do you kind of find as far as like, you know, feedback that you get from your customers? And do you have any insights into like, you know, what led them to, you know, see the ad, find the ad, like click through it and actually buy? What are kind of the biggest drivers to a full conversion that you find from what you can tell?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's people reacting to an ongoing health issue with their pet. And so we get like, if the feedback is initially like, hey, my pet has XYZ problems, in our reviews, you see like they have these type of symptoms and I either now have answers. I will say the time we get complaints is when we have the conversion and they purchase and then everything comes back normal. And I so sympathize with that because like you said, I mean, if you've had your own health issues and you're trying to figure them out and you do all this lab work and, you know, it's not like we're not the cheapest one out there. We're cheaper compared to going to the vet sometimes, but I am a pet parent. I'm a kid parent too. So I get it as a sensitivity. And when things come back normal, they, you know, they're real frustrated with like, well, there's symptoms going on, but you say everything is great. And my feedback is always like, well, the good news is these things are not the problem. So you know that you can avoid it. You can continue doing the wonderful things you're adding things in different areas. And, you know, here's some recommendations for the next steps. But I mean, ultimately, you know, our highest conversions is somebody actively searching because the pet is having a problem.
Right.
And so we are young and like trying to find some cross promotional where we could maybe find some, like see some conversion rates and it may be different category, but same vertical or switching things over. So I'm curious to see how those pan out. I will also say one of our highest, biggest conversions is our partnerships, right? And so we do a lot with other great partners and we're a great person to co-promote with. And so a test treat, and especially if you're like a food or supplement company, we can show the efficacy of your product in a way that no one else can. And so, and then there's not that competition, right? Our job is to help them keep them on your food or your supplement because we're showing that it's working. And so we've had great conversion rates when we do partnership promotions.
Yeah, that's amazing. And one other thing I wanted to ask, only because with you having kind of your own like proprietary lab set up and everything, and obviously assuming you produce the actual strips and like testing, you know, equipment as well, is there any opportunity in your mind for doing any kind of like private labeling that way? Obviously, whenever there's something, you know, proprietary, like what you're doing, I mean, it's kind of like I don't know, there seems to be a lot of like variable opinions on going down that route with a company that's especially that's as new as yours. So right. Are you doing anything like that now?
Any white labeling. Yeah. So we don't white label anything right now. I mean, the way I feel about this is that we're ultimately trying to help the pet market with health and wellness. And that is my goal, right? Our tagline is a science-driven pet wellness company. And a big piece of that though is education. And education's a big lift. It's an expensive lift.
Yeah.
And one that I'm fully aware of. I know we'll get there, but I know that there's a lot of effort that has to go into that. So if the right partner comes along and it's a white label opportunity that helps, one, their brand aligns with our mission and values. And two, it helps continue the ultimate goal of educating pet parents and the community at large about there's these type of options out there, that it's not always a prescription that you need, that you can do these other things for their health and wellness. I would absolutely consider it. But, you know, at the end of the day too, I'd actually be more interested in maybe a co-brand type of situation. At the end of the day, we're still running the tests at our lab. It's still our information. And really this data that we're collecting, we're using in R&D to help uncover and make predictions about animals and their, you know, whether there are certain breeds and their certain health outcomes. And so that all will help with that, which is our ultimate goal. So that's I'm definitely open to it, but it just has to be the right partner out there that we'd have to consider it for.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a similar answer. I get to that. Whenever something is like very, very kind of novel, especially with like, you know, not even the product itself, but like all the things that go on behind the scenes, is obviously, you know, novel to your brand. So I definitely get that. It makes sense. And one thing I always like to ask everybody that comes on the podcast, I know you're still relatively new, but surely you've surely learned a lot even in the time you've been, you know, since your launch. I know the development was quite a while before that. So, you know, if you could go back to kind of day one, even before you started really doing like big development and it's like still kind of in the idea stage, everything you've learned since then, if you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
Oh my goodness. There's a lot of advice, but all, you know, I think the name of the game with being an entrepreneur is that one, you surround yourself with an incredible team. And that doesn't mean that you surround yourself with people with like the best quote unquote pedigree behind it, but people that when things get really hard and when there's big obstacles that jump in and want to solve it with you, because you are always in charge of your own problems when you're the entrepreneur, and having people that are willing to jump in the pit with you and help you fight it out is pretty great. But also too, you know, it's ultimately who has the most grit. And there are some days that things just come that your way that you had no idea that you were supposed to know, and you have to figure it out. And so, and then having to pick yourself up the next day and do it again. And so ultimately just having the gumption to say, I know I've got this and I know I'm capable of this, and to keep coming back and reminding yourself that, I think is just really important, because while this is the most fun I've had in my career, it's definitely the most stressful. And so, but I get to solve my own problems, which is a privilege that I don't, it's not wasted on me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that answer. And it's part of the reason why I love doing this podcast so much too, doing it across industries, is like you find those commonalities, like especially in answer to that question, which I always try to ask because the insights are always so fascinating. And I mean, that is one thing. I mean, I get feedback from listeners, you know, often that say, it's just nice to hear that somebody else is like feeling this way. You know, it can be on an island, even if you have a great team around you. I mean, when it's you and you're the main founder and the CEO of a brand, I mean, it all comes down to you at the end of the day. And it can feel like you're on an island, even if you have the greatest team around you, you know, everything just comes down to you at some point. So no, I really appreciate that answer for that reason. And it's definitely part of what we're trying to do here with the podcast, among, you know, just general, you know, network building and things like that. So I really, really appreciate that. And I just want to give you a quick opportunity too, as well, Jamie, just to plug the website. You know, anybody may be interested in partnering with you on an official capacity, or, you know, anybody just interested in, you know, getting these for their own pets, let everybody know how to stay in touch with you guys.
Yeah. So it's innovativepetlab.com. You can reach out to us. Probably the easiest way is info@innovativepetlab.com, or yeah, the website will take you through it. But I would love, if there's questions, send them our way. There's partnership opportunities, definitely send them our way. We love to partner with great brands. If you want to try it, reach out to me. Happy to help. So
awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again, Jamie. I just want to wish you the best of luck, continued success. I love everything that you're doing. Love that you're so mission-based. And yeah, really appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jamie. Thanks, everybody.